You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mottis.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mottis from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. Check us out. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Today's episode of the show, in segment one, I'm going to talk about this Altitude TV versus cable fiasco that we've had today. It's kind of been the story of the headline of the day, and I think is going to be an interesting story to follow over the next several weeks. Going to get all into that, some interesting details that I'm going to get into there. I'm going to talk a little bit about Joe Johnson, who Denver reportedly is going to work out. They do have that one roster spot available, so maybe they're thinking about Joe Johnson as an option there. I'll talk about what that means. And then I'm going to spend a majority of segment two and all of segment three talking about what does the national media, and I guess you could also rope in the casual local media who I think knows about as much as about the Nuggets as the national casual national media does, but what does the national media get right about the Denver Nuggets? And also, what do they get wrong, or what do they miss about the Denver Nuggets from, you know, according to me, somebody that follows the team very, very closely. And this isn't a knock, by the way, on national media, guys. I do a national NBA show for Locked On NBA, and I know that my level of detail and familiarity with the Denver Nuggets far exceeds my knowledge of the league at large. And for a lot of the national media, especially if you're talking about your big talking heads at ESPN or whatever, you know, your Nick Wrights at Fox Sports 1, whatever, those guys aren't just following 30 NBA teams. They're NBA, NFL, baseball. So I cut a lot of national guys a lot of slack because their responsibilities are so big and they have to cover so many different teams and leagues and different things that I don't ever sweat when I see like, oh man, this guy has a bad take. You know, Colin Cowherd has a bad take about the Nuggets. Well, how much Nuggets could he possibly have watched? He has to watch so many other things. Nonetheless, going to talk about what they get right, what they get wrong. Before we get started, it's been a long day at work, still stuck at the office. Open the DoorDash app. DoorDash is awesome. You have to be using DoorDash. Choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, LOCKEDON. Do that. You can order your lunch today. Have them deliver it right to you. You get $5 off. It'll be a really good deal. So, the news of the day, Altitude Television opened up our morning this morning by tweeting and sharing some behind the scenes about a dispute they are now having with all three of the major cable providers, Dish Network, which is a local company, by the way, here in Denver, Comcast and DirecTV, all of whom their contracts are up, I think Dish Network today, Wednesday, and then the other two on Saturday. You renew them pretty much all at the same time. The deal is up. Altitude will now be going dark on Dish Network, no longer carried until they, you know, unless or until they reach an agreement, a new deal. And then on Saturday, Comcast and DirecTV are going to follow suit. And this is interesting. There's a lot of moving parts, and quite frankly, to be honest with you, not all of which I fully, I don't think I have like every detail about this. I don't think anybody does in the public sphere, but there are some interesting public details that I want to share. First of all, obviously, Altitude is owned by the Kroenkes. It's something of a unique situation here in Denver in that the Kroenkes own the teams of which they are covering with their television station. They own broadcast rights for their own team in this separate sort of entity that operates independently but still owned by the same company. So kind of an interesting situation as opposed to, you know, Root Sports or Fox Sports doing the broadcast, you know, somebody else that owns it that is broadcasting the local teams. And there's been this partnership between Altitude and the local cable providers now for 15 years. There was a 10-year deal originally between the two, and then it was re-upped for 5 more years. And if you think about it, when Altitude was launched 15 years ago, think about how different the world was. We're talking about 2004. You know, cable television was king. The smartphone, not quite, the iPhone was still 3 or 4 years away from hitting the market and 5 or 6, 7 years away from it becoming a part of our daily lives. This idea of you just being on the internet all day. It's weird to think about because these things happen so slow, but they also have such a big impact. You almost forget a time when you weren't on your phone all day or connected to the internet so quickly all day. But that time existed as little as, you know, 8 years ago. So now you're talking about a 15-year sort of company a media company. And in that 15 years, the media has changed so fast and so quickly, and will continue to evolve, that I think it's it creates this very unique situation. And viewer habits are different, and like the cable marketplace is different. And so now you wonder, you know, like, do they need to adapt to the changing environment, to what Comcast and these providers want? How quickly can they adapt? How much money can they throw towards adapting? And are they going to adapt in the right directions if that's what it comes to? Now, the contract is up and they're renegotiating the deal. But the proposal that the cable providers have put in front of Altitude is so different, like vastly apart from what Altitude was expecting. I think Altitude kind of looks at it like a 15-year trajectory and says, okay, going in the same direction. And according to the press releases, Dish Network, Comcast, and DirecTV all look at Altitude and say, you know, you're not that valuable right now. You shouldn't be going on this upward trajectory that you have for 15 years. We actually don't think you're very valuable at all, and we're going to make an offer based on that. So there's this big fight. The regional sports network, these are Altitude, Fox Sports, these groups, they're called regional sports networks, RSNs for short. And the market for them, for these RSNs, has actually changed quite a bit over the last year, over the last couple months, but really over the last several years as well. This probably went under your radar, but Sinclair Broadcast Group, which is the largest TV station provider or operator in the country, they have the most television stations under their umbrella. Sinclair, they bought 21 Fox Sports Network channels from ESPN. ESPN owned them and was trying to acquire some assets from 21st Century Fox. And, you know, regulators said that you basically are having a monopoly on sports media, ESPN is, and you need to sell off these regional sports networks. They sold them to Sinclair. And so that's a conglomerate. That's 21 Fox Sports channels that now are owned by one individual and can be packaged as one individual for all of these different ones. So that's an important little piece of information, because Altitude is independent. They're separate from that deal. They're not owned by one of those conglomerates, and so they don't have the leverage of having that like package deal to be able to put together. So this last season, now let's talk some numbers. The Nuggets saw the second biggest gain in viewership of all NBA teams, 74% increase, and they had a 1.3 Nielsen rating. This is according to the Sports Business Journal. The Utah Jazz, for reference, had a 6.6 Nielsen rating, almost six times what Denver is pulling in to watch the Nuggets. The Jazz, obviously incredibly popular in Utah, but it just shows you that Denver was somewhere in the back half of average, I believe. They were not the bottom five, not the top five, and they were below average, so, you know, somewhere in there. And Comcast, so Altitude puts out this thing today basically saying, hey, we're in this contract dispute. They're not giving us a fair deal. And hey, can you help us out? Everybody tweet at Comcast and tell them that we don't want you to cut Altitude. But then that opened up an opportunity, I guess, for Comcast to come up with a rebuttal. It opens up to this public dispute, which is what happened. And Comcast issued a statement that was almost, in many ways, felt like a smackdown of Altitude. And basically saying, you guys are not that valuable and you need to realize it. And the gist of it, they shared the statistic that said over 95% of the viewers that subscribe to, this is Comcast saying this, over 95% of our viewers watch less than the equivalent of one game per week on Altitude. Meaning 95% of our viewers, by our own research, would not care if we just cut you guys out entirely. This is a tough pill to swallow, I think, both locally and obviously for Altitude, for Nuggets fans, because you're looking at this situation and saying, okay, man, that's, you know, maybe they don't have a place of leverage. Maybe Comcast really is willing to call a bluff and just say, man, you have a thing that's not that valuable, but you cost us a ton of money and we're having to raise all of our rates. I mean, cable's already, I think, sort of a sinking ship, and we're going to have to raise all of our rates to accommodate you. And Altitude, it would appear, has not really set themselves up for this moment. I mean, we'll see how they handle this. It'll be an interesting thing to play out. But I see a lot of people, almost every comment today at Altitude or at the different people talking about it has been, oh, well, if you go to an online streaming service, then I will subscribe. Well, I don't think that's an option, in large part because you need to have a lot of foresight and really plan for a digital platform, solely digital, cutting away from cable. And I just don't know that that's been Altitude's goal from 15 years ago, certainly not from the last five. And I don't think they're set up. It's not one of those things where if they don't reach an agreement of some sort, they're just going to have this streaming. I would be shocked if that was the solution to all this, is Altitude says, okay, we're going to stream. They have some very well-paid media members on their staff that I don't know that they can count on just becoming a digital streaming service. So it's in a, they're in, I think, a very difficult situation. And the league might even have provision. I actually don't know this. The league might have rules against them going that way. They have deals with television partners. And here's the quote from Comcast. "We have submitted a proposal to Altitude that we believe reflects the value of its programming and are hopeful Altitude will accept it so we can continue to carry the network for those customers who want to watch it." So reflects the value of its programming, in addition to the other comments they made, is basically them saying, we don't think you're all that valuable. This is what we're going to offer. And now Altitude is in the unsavory position of trying to leverage, which I mean, maybe it'll work, maybe not, or having just to accept this lesser deal and move forward and maybe even have to make some cuts to their programming and adjust from there. But I think the long and the short of it is, and I have a full disclosure, I have an enormous bias in this. I am a new media person. I have been in media now for 5 years. I am the millennial generation, and I have a sort of revolutionary view of what media is. And while I'm extremely appreciative of the people, the journalists that do, you know, print journalism and traditional television and cable and this or that, I see, and I'm immersed in this stuff all the time, I see the way the younger, and I study the way people my age and younger consume media. And when I see numbers like this, 95% of viewers would not even care if we cut, to me, this is the least surprising news ever. And it's one of those things where I wonder, are they prepared for the shift that they need to be prepared for right now? So we'll watch this whole thing fall out, unfold together. And I don't want to make it sound like I have all the answers. It's a really tough spot. The way media is so fragmented and people, you know, live in such media bubbles, not just politically, but in like what they consume and where they get it. It's a tough, I think a lot of people are trying to solve this problem. I do think that they'll reach an agreement. I think I see a lot of people saying, oh no, I hope that we don't miss Nuggets games or whatever. I don't think it's going to come to that. That would cost everybody too much money. But I do wonder if Altitude's going to come close to the deal they're hoping to get, or if Comcast sort of holds all the cards here and can lean on them as long as they want. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Joe Johnson and then look at some of the things the national media gets right. We'll be right back. Joe Johnson, fresh off of his impressive debut in the Big Three. He was the story. I gotta be honest, I'm kind of starting to get into the Big Three. It's weird. I don't think I'm into it enough to like schedule to sit down and watch it, but maybe next year I will be. I don't know. They get bigger and bigger names, and you know, it's kind of fun to see guys like Joe Johnson, who I really like. I'm a Joe Johnson fan. I haven't loved his career. You know, he took all that money to leave Phoenix, and I mean, I get it. I don't know that I would pass down $100 million, even if it meant abandoning a championship-caliber team. But he's kind of been that guy that has made a ton of money, but left at the sacrifice of being on some of these great, great teams. So, but I do love his skill set. He's one of my favorite types of player. He's so smooth. I love smooth, fundamental players. He's a bucket getter. But he is, of course, now a little bit long in the tooth. And so he comes off this great Big Three season, and now he's looking to make his comeback into the NBA. And I say comeback, I don't, you know, he's not that, what is he, 37? So he's 37 years old. He's pretty old. This is probably his last deal if he were to get one. And it was reported today by Mark Spears that he was going to work out for the Denver Nuggets. Now, the Denver Nuggets have one roster spot available. It's been reported that the Nuggets are likely to send Bol Bol to a two-way contract, which means that there would still be a roster spot available, so they could get Joe Johnson. So now the question is, does Denver need him? And even though I love Joe Johnson, Denver has an issue right now, in my opinion, in that they just have too many guys. You go through the roster right now and you say, okay, Monte Morris and Jamal Murray are going to play. Gary Harris and Malik Beasley are almost, or actually I should say, Gary Harris is going to play. Jeremy Grant, Paul Millsap are going to play. Jokic and Plumlee are going to play. And then almost certainly Will Barton, Malik Beasley, Torrey Craig, Juancho Hernangómez, like two of those four guys are almost certainly going to play, with another one of them, I would say, likely to play. And that just means that Denver doesn't have a spot for any of these guys. You know, Juancho probably not going to play a whole lot, if at all, being in the rotation. Beasley's going to be playing fewer minutes than he probably should. Same with Craig and Barton. So you bring in a guy like Joe Johnson, what's the point? There are so many guys ahead of him. Now, the point might be to bring him in as a Mike Miller type. He's not going to play a whole lot, but he's a veteran. He's been through it all. you know, maybe he's that guy. Maybe he just works out with the young guys. Maybe that was the workout was all about, was, hey, man, you come in, odds are you're going to play some minutes at some point, but for the most of the season, you're just going to have to be a guy that works out the end of bench guys. And maybe he wants that role, but I don't know. But from a basketball standpoint, I just have a hard time believing that Denver looks at him and says, we need him. Now, he does have one thing Denver doesn't have. Well, I guess you could say two things. Elite shooting. He hasn't shot the ball the last couple of years very well, but I do have confidence that he can return to a 40%, especially on low volume. I think he can be that guy. But he also has size, and there's nobody on the team really that has his sort of his build, you know, his numbers. He's 6'7", first of all. So you're talking about like Wancho height, maybe a little bit taller than Torrey Craig, a little bit taller than Malik Beasley. But strong, you know, he's not stocky, but he's a solid build guy. So he's got that size that Denver doesn't have. But again, he's really old. And I think that if you brought him in, but you were not planning on making an early trade, I just don't know what the point is of having him on your bench. Even if you do make a trade later in the season, you have him on the bench all the way to February and then you ask him to play. It just, to me, there's better uses of that roster spot. And I just don't see it. So Joe Johnson, I'm out on. I don't really quite get it, but you know, we'll see what happens. Denver was one of like five teams. I think Philadelphia was another one. Philadelphia needs them. They need as much shooting as they can get. All right, let's go into what does the national media get right about the Denver Nuggets? This one will be a fun one. There's more that they get right than this. And the national media, I should say, ESPN, your big talking heads around the NBA, ESPN, TNT, those guys are on the Nuggets bandwagon. What's funny is you get these local talking heads here in Denver, radio guys or whatever, that are just constantly crapping on the Nuggets and, oh, they're not any good. Charles Barkley loves them. Jalen Rose is all about them. You hear a lot of guys that are picking Denver and are just high on what they've built and believe in it nationally a lot more. So the first thing I put on here, they're fun as hell. And the national media thinks the Denver Nuggets are super fun. They're totally bought in, more so than they're bought in on them being good. They're bought in on this style of basketball, and everybody loves Jokic, and Murray has a little swagger to him, and they've got these fun pieces. So they get right that they are fun as hell, and I love that about where the Nuggets are right now. I don't know when that fades, if ever. I think there is a chance that Denver's like floor is sort of that 2002-2003 Sacramento Kings, which were an iconic team that everybody loved and everybody remembers. They didn't ever get over the hump, but man, they were a fun team. That could be for Denver, and I'll be honest, that's a great floor. That's like a great worst-case scenario sort of from them, is to be a memorable, fun team. That's honestly the second best thing you can ask for behind a championship. The national media gets right that it's possible, it's within the realm of possibility that they've already peaked or that they are close to their peak, meaning Denver's really good. It's undeniable that they are one of the best teams in the NBA, and that being as young as they are, you would assume that they are only going to get better from here. But I think the national media is right to sort of say, yes, that's true, but are we certain that they are a lot better than this, or are they sort of at their ceiling already? There's been so many teams, probably more teams that have had the climb that Denver has had, but then plateaued, than there are teams that have had the climb they've had and then gone to a whole nother level. I mean, the next step is the hardest. And I think one of the reasons for a lot of skepticism about, you know, usually logically you would just say, okay, this team is so young, they won 54 games, they're going to be even better and they're contenders for years or whatever. But the next step is the hardest, and I think the national media, one of the reasons they're slow to sort of really crown the Nuggets is they know that one thing. There's been a lot of teams that have kind of gotten here and then hit a wall, including some previous versions of the Nuggets. Another thing they get right, they got lucky in the playoffs last year. Now, what do I mean by that? They got lucky that they avoided Houston, Golden State, maybe even Utah. I think Utah was peaking at the end of last year and would have given them some real trouble. Denver was lucky to avoid them. And I know Denver did some things to kind of maneuver themselves away from Houston and out of their bracket. But the fact of the matter remains, they played what I think was the perfect slate of games last year. They played a San Antonio team that was not talented, but was incredibly smart, incredibly tough, and really forced Denver to grow. They were just good enough to allow Denver to overcome them, but also to push them to be their best and to kind of learn these lessons. And, you know, Denver goes down 2-1, then they kind of take over the series, and it was just the perfect sort of growth for Denver. I think if you look at how shook Denver looked in game two, at halftime of game two being down, you know, quite a few points and it not looking great, I think down 15 points in the third quarter at one point at home, almost about to go down 0-2. If they were playing Houston and they were in that moment, dropped game one, down double digits at halftime in game two, I don't know that Denver was good enough to sort of overcome that. And maybe you get a Houston team that just sweeps them or wins in five, and you're feeling a lot worse about last season. That was a possibility. And I think the national media really keys in on that point, and I think it's a fair one. Denver was really, really good, but they were even more vulnerable this last season than I think they will be this next season, and they were lucky to sort of avoid some of the teams. Now, that being said, they played great. They earned going to game seven of the second round. But again, there's no doubt if they would have played Houston, if they would have played Golden State in that first round, they would have lost. And I think there's a real good case to be made that if they would have played Utah, they would have lost as well. The national media gets right that they are vulnerable this season. I think every team is vulnerable this year, so it's not really a shot at Denver, but I think a lot of times locally Nuggets fans will say, oh, you're discounting this or that, and Denver's really, really freaking good, but it's kind of like paper, rock, scissors. You know, there's some things they're really, really good at, and there's some things they're bad at, and the teams that are able to exploit that are very dangerous to them. And then they have some decisions to make, and I think this is one thing that a lot of people have keyed in on of, you know, what are they going to do with MPJ? What are they going to do with Gary Harris and, you know, even Jamal Murray? Denver has a lot of decisions to make, and I think this is the year of decisions. I think it's the year of MPJ, it's the year of Murray, and it's the year of decisions for the Denver Nuggets. That's like the three big themes I would say sort of define this season. So a lot of decisions ahead, and I think that's one thing the national media is keyed in on. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, what do they get wrong? There's a little bit longer list for that. I think they get a lot wrong. We'll be right back. I want to tell you about the 3-on-3 tournament that the Nuggets are hosting and that the Stiffs have a team we are sponsoring in there that you want to come and challenge. Beat Team Stiffs. It's taking place next week. You can go on denverstiffs.com right now. We have a free giveaway. One team is going to get to go into this tournament for free. All you got to do is go on Twitter and retweet our tweet promoting this event, and we're going to pick one of the people. I think it's only got like 8 retweets, so you have a great odds right now if you hustle over there. But a 3-on-3 tournament a week from Saturday. It's going to be, I believe, the 7th, and there's a lot of cool stuff going on. The Denver Nuggets dancers will be out there, super mascot Rocky cheering you on. It's a cool tournament. It's a $150 entry, and there's all age groups. So if you get your kids, 3-on-3 tournaments were some of the most fun times I ever had as a kid playing basketball outdoors. You know, all the teams are kind of watching you, so you get to, like, you know, scout each other out. It's just a lot of fun. So if you got kids or if you want to play as an adult, there's different age brackets for every single age. You know, you can sign them up, 10 years old, 12 years old, 14, whatever, and it should be a lot of fun. There's prizes, and if you sign up, you get a Nuggets reversible jersey, and you get a ticket to a Nuggets game. So it's a great value, and I highly recommend it. And then, of course, visit denverstiffs.com, and you can see where we're competing, and you can see how you can win free entry to it if you apply. What does the national media miss about the Denver Nuggets? Number one, Jokic is a solid defender. This one, I don't hammer this one home too often because I'm right, and I don't want to be the guy that's always gloating. But the national media is still slowly coming around to this idea that he is not as bad of a defender as his lowlights make him seem. He's actually a pretty smart guy who does a lot of important things well. But they still, I think, on the whole, look at him as if he is like this matador defense out there that he just gets dunked on repeatedly and can't guard anybody. He can guard a lot of guys, and he does a good job of it. I think maybe this is the year that they really come full circle on it and realize that he's actually a well above average defender from the center position. What do they miss? Jokic is not like Vucevic or Kanter or any other player who is sort of a empty calories type guy. And look, I love Vucevic. I don't think he's an empty calories guy. I think Kanter is. But I think for whatever reason, I think, first of all, there's a lot of racial dynamics. There's a lot of xenophobic dynamics to all of these things. People, you know, he's a European, so they throw these things on him. But I think there's still some analysts that look at him and think, okay, we don't watch a ton of the Nuggets. We, you know, especially before the season, and thought, okay, he's fun, he's cute, but he's those numbers are all empty. He's just like Vucevic. He's nothing like him. He's nothing like those guys. He is significantly closer to your all-time greats than he is to your Vucevic's. And the numbers, a lot of times when you get a like an Enes Kanter guy, it's like, oh man, he's averaging 18 points, 10 rebounds, and there's nothing else. It's like nothing else is going on there. He's just a pure scorer. Jokic is doing that, 18 and 10, with the assists, with the steals, with the super efficiency, with the post game, the outside shot, the three-point shot, you know, all of these other things. And captaining the offense at a rate that none of those other guys come even remotely close to. But for whatever reason, he still gets lumped. Well, I told you some of the reasons. He still gets lumped into him. Very uncomfortable reasons. Denver style, another thing they miss. Denver style is not a gimmick or something that once scouted will be destroyed. This is something that even close friends of mine, analysts who I'm very close to, thought going into the playoffs. Like, oh, yeah. First of all, I've heard this from even people here in the Denver media of, you know, Jokic is good, but the word's not out of on him. Once the word's out, you know, there's this thing you're going to be able to do. Nobody could ever tell me what it was, but, oh, there's this thing you're going to do and teams are going to scout and he's not going to have a pass anymore. Like, oh, he makes these passes, but once teams learn that he passes, he's not going to be able to do it. I've always called BS on this. I still call BS on it. And I think that the way the playoffs went with the numbers that he put up and the success that Denver had, I think this one is dying. It's on life support, but there's still people that I think that still talk about him as if, oh, now that everybody's had a look at him, they're going to do that. They're going to force him to his left, and now there's no counter, something like that. I think it's ridiculous. Now, one thing I will say, even the Golden State Warriors, with Kevin Durant and with all the talent that they had, were still vulnerable to teams scouting them and, like, overload. I mean, the Houston, when you're the top dog, everybody starts to scout and say, okay, where's the weakness, and how can we make ourselves as strong as possible in the one way that is vulnerable to them? And I think the Warriors were so much better than the Rockets, but the Rockets very wisely built their roster with the sole mission of beating the Warriors. And I think similar things could happen to Denver. So I'm not saying that Jokic is like this player that can't, or Denver style cannot be beat. It's impossible to beat it. But I do think that they're not at a point where it's not one of those things where it's like, okay, we watched the film and now we're going to go do that. You'd have to load up on this very specific type of talent and groom yourself to do this certain things that would take advantage of Denver. It's not just a matter of, oh, the game plan is he can't shoot jumpers or we're going to force him to shoot or something like that. It's ridiculous. He's far too good and the Nuggets are far too good. Gary Harris is really good. It's another thing the national media misses. He's never talked about. Gary Harris is a heck of a player, and the fact that he doesn't put up, you know, huge numbers, I think, or make, like, you know, he doesn't have too many, like, 35, 40-point games, people don't talk about him as if he's this, like, incredibly impact player. He's better than, here's an example, he's significantly better than Kyle Kuzma, or Brandon Ingram, or Lonzo Ball at the moment. He's so much better than these guys, and think about how much those guys get hyped. Gary Harris almost never talked about. Now, he had a down year last year because of the injuries, but he's a player that the national media just always misses on. And you hear guys say things like, oh, and Gary Harris, he's a nice player. He's a really good player that should be talked about on a level way more than he is. Continuity is overlooked. My own boss, David Locke, really hammering this one home. So he gets the national media, you know, he's the national media for this specific example. But Denver's continuity is an important part of what has made them so good. And I'm going to tie this to another one, which is that the culture and the long-term planning is responsible as much as almost anything for what has gone right. And this ties into continuity. But Denver is a team that, I made a video about this, like the 76ers, came up with a long-term plan. Now, it wasn't like A to B to C to D. Like, it wasn't a roadmap every step of the way. But they did look at their roster, and I think Josh Kroenke deserves a ton of credit for this, in addition to Tim Connelly, Michael Malone. But I think they looked at the market, looked at the roster, and said, we're not close. And we are not one or two smart years away from going all in. We are, our best scenario is to make this plan to try to get as many assets and players and young players and develop them, and we might hit on some. And also, behind the scenes, we have to change how we do business. We have to create this environment and this culture of hard work, bring in high character guys, And, you know, so when David Locke asked me, guys get stale and there's a moment, he's not wrong about that. But what he's wrong about is that Denver has seen that coming. They're also prepared for that. And they have selected guys. They have brought guys in that are very high character guys who want to work and who aren't counting other people's money and doing these different things. They've had those guys. Kenneth Faried was one of those guys. When Paul Millsap was brought in, Kenneth Faried talked about Paul Millsap's contract publicly at Media Day. He mentioned the exact total. Because he is a guy that is very aware of other people's money, and I deserve this. If he's that, then I'm this, and if you're this, then I'm that, whatever. And I think that the Nuggets have sort of very, over the course of the last several years, weaned themselves away from those guys and got them out of the locker room, your Nate Robinsons, and you know they've gotten rid of those guys. And as a result, you've had this great culture that is so important to what they've done. And then, of course, Michael Malone deserves a ton of credit because I think he has really set the tone. And his great skill as a coach, maybe more than any other skill, has just been managing egos and sort of having the backbone and the gravitas to tell an Isaiah Thomas, hey, man, I'm benching you, or tell a Kenneth Faried, you're out of the lineup, or whatever it may be, and just the backbone to go toe-to-toe with those guys. The Nuggets get along phenomenally. That's another thing that never gets talked about nationally. It's funny, Jackie McMullen came into town, Zach Lowe came into town, Surat Sohi came into town, Rob Mahoney, a lot of these national writers from Sports Illustrated and The Athletic and ESPN, and every single one of them has come in and said, man, this team really gets along. It's like unique. And I don't think people recognize or appreciate how important this is. Now, first of all, your old guys, quote unquote old guys, are Paul Millsap, who's a very, you know, even-tempered guy. Mason Plumlee, who's not that old. Will Barton, who's young at heart, younger probably than his age leads on. And then a bunch of young dudes. And I think there's a real value to having guys that are all sort of the same generation. They're all on the same wavelength. When you get too many guys that are 32 and 28 and 26, and you have like that whole spectrum, I really do think it's hard to connect and hard to build that camaraderie. But Denver, for the last several years, has felt more like a college team than they have an NBA team because they have that connection. And it never gets talked about. When Jackie McMullen came to Denver, I've heard her talk about it on podcasts, but I haven't seen it in writing or really hammered home just how much Denver's culture and chemistry is at such an extreme high. And maybe that wears off this year. Maybe it's not that important, but at least it's something that they deserve a ton of credit for because it is just a different vibe than most teams where there's fraction, you know, guys that don't get along and there's weirdness or whatever. There's no weirdness with Denver, at least not a lot. And then Monte Morris is good. Malik Beasley is good. Denver gets every team, and this isn't unique to Denver, but every team gets reduced to, oh yeah, guy one and guy two, those guys are good, and then there's some pieces. Monte Morris might have been the best regular season backup in the NBA last year. Malik Beasley would start at shooting guard for probably 10 to 15 teams. Those guys are really, really good, and they go unnoticed. Mason Plumlee, same thing, would start for a handful of teams, and they just never get the credit. That's the nature of the beast. It's not unique to Denver. But those guys, I think Denver's depth is a real strength, and those guys rarely, rarely get talked about. That's it for today, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. It should be we're getting to the point now where the season is almost in sight. Media Day, I think, is less than a month away now, or about exactly, actually, no, it's about exactly a month away. So we're going to start the countdown. It's getting closer and closer. And then finally, I have to tease this. A major announcement coming your way very, very soon over the next couple days into next week. So you're going to want to stay subscribed. You're going to want to stay tuning into this podcast because there is going to be some pretty major announcements coming up over the next couple days that'll be interesting to share. So I'll tease that as we get out of here. And to everybody else, thanks so much. We'll see you on Friday.
Thank you for listening to the Locked on Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes. Visit us on the web at DenverSports.com.